Shalom.
Shalom.
It's good to be back to Jesus Christ, salt and light. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's my family, Vicky, Moriel, and Guy. And they will tell them, don't make us to say anything. let us just relax and enjoy fellowship and worship and so. Guy, would you like to say something? Okay. Yeah, maybe you can pray for a young generation. No, all of you have children, grandchildren, right? And I bet you all praying for your family, for your children, that they will serve the Lord. So Guy really have a special passion to pray for kids of believers, because it's not always easy, but he kind of overcome in his life, because when my oldest son, Sasso and Moriel, they when they were teenagers, they were in the school. They were only messianic or Christian students in the school of 2,000 people. So it was tough. For Guy, it's different. They have way more friends in the congregation, in the church of his age. So it really is a blessing. So it's good to pray for our children and grandchildren, right? Please pray, God.
Father, I thank you for this church. Just bless the youth among Seattle, Washington. Just give them the will to come to this church and serve you, Lord. Just encourage them. Just thank you. Thanking for all of this church, congregation. Just bless them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Guy. Yes, thank you. Well, yeah, 12 years ago, Guy was 2 years old. And Moriel were a teenager. Well, so it's really good to be back and good to share wonderful testimonies what God is doing in Israel today. Because reading the Bible, I really see the connection between nations and Israel. And, you know, it's all started in Jerusalem, in Israel, in Galilee, and it's going to come back. The glory, the King of glory, going to come back, but not only for Israel, not for sake of Israel, but for the whole world, for the whole nation, just to restore the original plan of God and salvation and redemption. So we have all these beautiful promises, and Israel is kind of indicator or kind of a watch that's showing us where we're at. What's happening right now, you know, all kind of events we can follow through the Bible. So it's really a blessing to be in Israel, blessing to serve God in Israel, but also it's very challenging. So I'm going to share with you some of it, and I know many of you praying for us, and some old friends keep us in your prayers. So it's very precious and very, very, very important. So I would love to start with the scriptures first, and then I will tell you stories. So Isaiah 60, it says here in verse 1 and 2, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory we will see upon you." Praise the Lord. We see here two messages, good and bad. And I always like to ask, what is your culture? If somebody come to you and telling you, I have two news for you, good and bad. What would you like to hear first? Good. Okay. Okay. So all of you would prefer to hear good news first? Well, in Israel, we say, give me bad news first. Let's deal with the problem. And they will be encouraged, okay? So I will go Hebrew way, Israeli way. Well, bad news, darkness is growing in the world. Probably you can see that, and I can hear from older generation of Americans saying, it's not the same country anymore. America has changed, you know, it's a different country. It's not like country we used to be at. I mean, same nation, same people, but lots of things changed around us. Yes, it's truth. And if you look at the world, you can really see where this changes. Where this changes. We came from Middle East. Middle East have changed even in few last years. So it's really changes a lot. You know, the millions of people moving and leaving countries, fled into other countries, and it's lots of problem. And the main reason is darkness. So we can see here two kind of darkness. And probably, like for Americans, I will tell you, first, darkness is just a sin. It's all the evil in the world, all the sinful life, you know, all the ways how nations backslide from God and going into darkness, leaving the light. So it's just a sin around us. You know, you can see how teenagers struggle with things a previous generation didn't struggle with, you know, like an internet and all kind of influences around us. That's a darkness, and it's going to grow. Second kind of darkness, and in Hebrew you can see really well about two kinds of darkness. Another kind of darkness, I believe, is a religious darkness. In our region, in the Middle East, people kill each other, you know, even of same faith, like even Muslim killing other Muslims, not only killing Christians, they're also killing each other, and they believe they do it for the sake of God. Praying, I mean, saying prayers and praising God for that. What is it? It's a spiritual darkness. So it's not very encouraging message for Sunday morning, I know. I know, but it's not the end. Right. Praise the Lord. That's the bad news. And summarizing prophecies of Jesus about last days and prophecies of Prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Book of Revelation about last days, it's going to get tough. We know it, right? So we should be ready. And Jesus tells us that not to scare us, because it's not written here. When you see all these events coming, when you see all these, you know, disasters in the world and wars and all kind of troubles and tribulations, run to your shelter and be ready. No, right? It doesn't say run to the shelter. I mean, bomb shelter. Okay, I have to explain. I'm come from Israel. In my apartment, I have bomb shelter. In every house, we have bomb shelters, okay? I mean, bomb shelter. Yeah, thank you, sister. She showed me, yeah, to the shelter, right? To the shelter. Well, I mean, like literally physical bomb shelter. Jesus doesn't say hide in the forest or in the mountains. I mean, he does say run to the mountains for Israelis, okay? But anyway, he said, rejoice. Your redemption is coming. Rejoice. I know it's not easy. I know when you read Book of Revelation, you not really feel like spirit of joy, right? All the way through. By the end, yes. But anyway, Jesus said, rejoice, which is mean we will be able to rejoice. And something will happen with us, even though difficulties will be around us and challenges and problems. And I want to read it again. It says at the beginning, arise, shine, for your light has come. Interesting, God says your light, because his light becoming our light, right? I love the name of your church, Jesus Christ, salt and light. Hallelujah. So Jesus is our light, right? So his light is coming to our lives. Because as a people, we don't have this light without Jesus, but with Jesus, we have his light in us. So it's beautiful. We will be able to arise. We will be able to shine with his glory. Because he said, your light is come. And then he given us an even better explanation. The glory of Lord is risen upon you. That's the reason. His glory risen upon us. His glory will be shown even more at the last days. Because we're saying about darkness going to grow. You know, darkness going to grow, but the stronger, darkest darkness is the brighter light of Jesus is. So when we're going to see all these difficult events, we will see more and more glory of God. He promised that. You know, it's given. He gave us these promises in the Old Testament, and lots of them, way more of them in the New Testament, about his light, about his glory in us, because Jesus Christ is hope of glory. Amen. Right. And again, it says, when deep darkness will cover people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That's the promise. His glory will be seen. His glory will be seen. It's interesting because according to the Bible, we all received glory of God in us. We carry his glory in us, in our spirit, through Jesus, right? But we not always feel it, right? We not always feel it. We not always see it, but it is in us. And just to give you an example, I want to read from Exodus 34, verse 29. You know, when Moses went on the mountain and he spent time with the Lord, many, many days up there on the mountain with the Lord. And then he came down. Something happened with him. And we can read in verse 29. When Moses came down from the mountain Sinai, the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he was not aware. That's a key word. He was not aware. He didn't get it. He didn't see it. He didn't feel it. He didn't understood. It says, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. It's amazing, right? He didn't know that. He didn't feel nothing different. He was happy. I'm sure he was, right? Spending time with the Lord. But he didn't feel light. He didn't feel glory. He was just walking down from the mountain, just normal, like a normal Moses, same Moses. He felt like a same Moses. But something happened to him in verse 30 says, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. So can you imagine this scene? Actually, I saw the dream about that this night. It was interesting. So I felt God is kind of leading me to share with the church, encourage church with his word. That was weird because I didn't thought of any message when I go to bed. I preferred message before, but you know, I like these moments when God is changing your plans. That's always good. So I can imagine Moses coming down, feel normal, feel same, nothing changed. And suddenly people run out of him, you know, the Aaron coming closer. And suddenly started to run away. Israelites run away. Can you imagine how he felt? Maybe lonely. Maybe something wrong with me. What's happening? And the Bible doesn't give us details how we recognize what was the problem. Maybe they were keeping distance and shouting, stop lying. We cannot see you. It's crazy. It's scary. And I don't know what was the problem. What was the way to discover glory? But eventually he put cover. Remember? He put cover on his face. And then God gave mercy to Israelites. He put kind of this light down, the physical light down, and they stopped seeing it after a while. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Same glory we carry in ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure most of you have experiences with God when it doesn't feel nothing, but God used you. You know, I remember praying for people. The strongest healing that came through my prayer for people happened when I didn't feel nothing. Really. When I didn't feel nothing. You know, we had just recently a story with a gentleman in Jerry's age. He's American Israeli. And another pastor came with the back pain. He was suffering with back pain. And we offered him to pray. We gathered around. We prayed for him. And then pastor lead the prayer. The American one lead the prayer. And then it goes like that. Whoo! I feel good. Whoo! I feel good. I don't know about you, but I feel good. So we're not talking about that. Which is, of course, it was a joke. You know, it was just kidding and laughing. But you know, it happened to me when I didn't feel any special thing, you know, any special presence of God, and God just healed people and did miracles. And upside down, I did feel, oh, I feel like God going to heal now. Oh, there is glory of God here. And then I prayed and nothing happened. So you never know. It's always keep you humble and it remind you it's all in His hands, right? It's not. Not in our hands and in the Lord's hands. But it's beautiful. And we had experiences when people would come to our church from outside and they would cry and they would testify about glory of God. And one time even they asked us, are you always walking in glory like that? And my team, my friends, you know, Eitan and all the friends, they were kind of watching each other. What are you talking about? We don't feel anything special, you know, like it's normal for us. But we need these kind of stories just to make it as a confirmation and affirm that God is with us. So I can tell you, I came here and I've been worshiping here with you. And I know you're not big church in size, but Spirit of God is here. And that's what's most important. Amen. God's kingdom have different dimension, you know, not human dimension, different measures, you know. So it's not about human measures. It's about His kingdom. So His glory is obviously here. So we are blessed to be Sunday morning here with you. Hallelujah. That's the blessing, to be in the family, in a spiritual family, in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, I want to read 2 Corinthians 3 from 15 to 18 because it actually speaks about my people, my country, and I know most of you praying for Israel, so it's about us. And the same story now given us in the New Testament. So explanation by New Testament, it says here, even to this day when Moses is read, you remember the story, Moses came with glory of God, shining glory, he didn't see his glory, but people saw the glory. And it says, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. And it speaks about people of Israel. You see, when they read Moses, when they read Genesis, when they read Bible, Old Testament, the veil covering their heart. And it's veil of God. I know it's kind of strange, but it's of God. There is other scriptures that explain us plan of God for salvation of Israel and nations. And Romans 11, that's the beautiful chapter that given us explanation that actually they fell apart. It was of God. Prophets spoke about that, but by the end it changed and they eventually will turn back to the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says 16, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, which is mean in Hebrew it says Jehovah actually. You know, Jehovah, Yahweh, the name of the Lord. It really says here, when you turn to God, the Father, the Jesus will take their veil away. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where is the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Freedom from blindness. I know we use this word, like speak about, we can shout in the presence of the Lord or dance in the presence of the Lord. Well, whatever your tradition are, you can do that. But actually, Bible speaks here about freedom to see the glory of God, freedom to see and to understand the kingdom of God, freedom to be not blind anymore, but to see Jesus and his glory, what he have done for us. Amen. That's the real freedom. That's the that's the most beautiful freedom together with all the other freedoms. Hallelujah. 18 says here, and we all, now it speaks about us, about you, about Christians, about us followers of Jesus, and we all who with unveiled faces Jerry, help me to read this word. Contemplate. Still working on my English.
Contemplate.
Okay, thank you. I got it. Contemplate. Who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which come from the Lord who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's encouraging word for us. We don't need to put veil on our faces, right? Because his light is in us. That's the most important. It's in us. Our face don't have to be radiant to know, but Jesus is in our hearts. That's most important. So again, darkness going to grow. Darkness going to cover people and cover nations, but God is going to work through his people, through his church. He's going to rise up his church. He's going to rise up you, and he's going to use you for his glory. Now, speaking about our experiences in Israel, you know, in 2005, 13 years ago, we moved with my family and a couple more families from Tel Aviv to Ashdod to start a church. It was the same year I met Jerry. And Jerry was such a blessing all these years coming. And you know, as a young pastor, it's always good to have next to you a more experienced pastor, more you know, patient and loving with more experiences. So our walk together was always encouraging, always just wonderful, just precious. And I don't know if you see this glory on his life here because you walk with him every day. But from Israel, we do see that. Praise the Lord. And I know it's not about Jerry, it's about Jesus that is in Jerry and in you and in all of us, right? But just God just using us, praise God. It's like Israel, which people speak so highly about Israel and, you know, highly in all kind of ways. Some people hate Israel and, you know, don't agree that God is restoring Israel, don't agree with God's promises to give to Israel. This many saying it's over, it's not relevant, it's done, it's work of people, and others praying for Israel and believe in the scriptures and believe in these prophecies. It's both. I see people, you know, all kind of people with all kind of ideas, and it's very interesting. And some just ignorant, some just don't care. Well, Israel is there, I'm here, so it doesn't matter. God will come one day back to, you know, to the earth, and he will do whatever you like. So it doesn't matter for me today. So I have all kind of stance with Israel. But I can tell you for sure, God is really at work, walking in the land, reading the Bible, reading the prophecies. It's amazing to see how many details of the Bible come into pass, even concerning desert and fields and, you know, vineyards and hills and people and nations. It's just beautiful. You know, just a few years ago, I think I shared with you, Jerry, a few years ago, Israel discovered gas and oil offshore under the sea. You know, in Ashdod, we see, from my city, we see rigs in the sea. Even that is written in the Bible, in Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about richness of the sea that shall be given to you. It's amazing. It's the details of the Bible. Just fascinating, right? How Isaiah knew. He lived 2,600 years ago, more or less. How he knew that Israel will find gas and oil one day in offshore under the sea. It's incredible, right? I mean, I love history. I love Bible. I love prophecies. I love details. So it's just fascinating to see how God is doing all of that. It's just amazing. And, you know, if God is faithful for people, if God is faithful for people of Israel, of course he will be faithful for every believer, because he gave us so many prophecies. All the Old Testament prophecies through Jesus became part of our life and heritage. Amen? And of course, in Jesus, we have all this richness and all these beautiful promises. So people speak highly about Israel, but I have to tell you, what's happening with Israel, it's actually not about Israel. And my favorite scripture is Ezekiel 36, verse 22. It's like 20, 21, 22, when God's saying, first God giving great promises to people of Israel. I'm going to restore you, rebuild you, bless you, bring you back to the land. You know, I will protect you, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I will speak to the fields and vineyards and valleys to produce goods because my people are coming. Beautiful chapter. And then it's turn around to people of Israel and telling to Israelites, changing subject, telling to Israelites, but I want you to know, people of Israel, I'm going to do all these great things not for your sake, says the Lord, because you profaned my holy name, and I will summarize other prophecies. You broke my covenants. You wasn't faithful. You don't deserve it. You're not worth it. Then God says, but I'm still going to do all these great things because of my holy name. Hallelujah. So it's given us right perspective. It's not about people. It's not about, you know, one nation and another nation. It's about kingdom of God and God's order. And Israel happens to be firstborn. It could be any other nation. You know, it's not, he didn't ask us, right, when he make his choice. And, you know, many things when it's come to Israel, it's a mystery to me. You know, living in Israel, enjoying Jerusalem mountains, they're so wonderful and beautiful. But then I went to Alps, you know, European mountains. I came to the Alps and I was thinking, like, that's the mountains. What we have in Israel is just the hills, you know, it's not even mountains. Speaking of rivers, River of Jordan, so beautiful. We like to kayak on the Jordan. Then you come to Mississippi. That's the river, you know. Once I was flying over Volga. That was crazy, you know, the Siberian River. You're staying in the one shore and you don't see other shore. No, it's not a lake, it's a river. Can you imagine how wide is a huge river? That's the river. Why God have chosen Israel to be, you know, his land? Why he choose Jerusalem? It's not even high mountain. It's a mystery to me, but he didn't ask me. He didn't ask you, right? We didn't vote it for that. It's his sovereignty, right? He is the Lord. So just remind us that he probably sees things different, not like us. So it's not about the highest mountain. It's not about, you know, widest or longest or biggest and cleanest river. And by the way, Jordan is not even clean river. You know, it's like your southern rivers, very, very gray and dirty, you know. But that's God. So it's not about us. It's not about people. It's not about Israel, not about Israelis. It's about God's kingdom. Amen. So if you will meet any time, like crazy Christians running with flags, you know, like, and crazy supporters of Israel, or you will meet Jewish people full of pride. Oh, we are Israelis. We are do this and that. We're achieving this and that. You can smile and you can tell them, I know, but it's not about you. It's about Jesus.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. There is not superior nations. You know, we're all loved by God. Just every nation have its call, its role to play in the world. Praise the Lord. So it's great to be in Israel, but also very humbled experience to be pastor in Israel. Now, that's, I hope it has encouraged you, because, you know, in Israel we have lots of persecutions. You know, we have a very diverse society in Israel. We have diverse cities. When you see Jews and Arabs, Muslims, Christians, Jewish live together, there is more tolerance, like cities like Jerusalem, Haifa. You can see like neighborhoods next to each other, and Arabs and Jews, they live together, study together, work together. And then you have cities when only Muslims live or only Jewish people live. So I came from the city, I live in the city when only Jewish people live. That's why it's more difficult to preach the gospel in cities like Ashdod, because we have 400 synagogues in my city and only two churches. Right now we're by the end of construction. So it's the first Christian building in the entire city.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine how much opposition we have? Yes, a lot. But God been so grateful to us, and he did so much miracles for us. I mean, he's really faithful. And that's our story. You know, we had, 1,000 protesters coming to the doors of our church, Orthodox protesters, like Jewish Orthodox, you know, don't mess with Russian Orthodox, you know, it's Jewish Orthodox people, black and white, you know, coming to close our church down, kick us out from the city. We've been followed. We have seen our posters all over the city with me and my wife picture with our home address. We've been followed, like in spy movies, you know, you drive in the city and they have a tail. They're just following you everywhere you go for years and years and years. It was tough. But I can tell you, I need another hour just to tell you the hardships we come through to get where we're at today. But the most important thing, it's not the difficulties we got, but encouragement of the Holy Spirit. That was awesome. You know, when it started, we had newspaper articles, radio, TV programs about us. So we became famous in one day. We were walking in the city, seeing our posters like movie stars, but they wasn't positive, you know. It was like wanted, you know, in old cowboy movies, wanted
right.
Posters. Really, they were printed in black and red. If you would love to see them, you can give me your email. I will send them to you just to see and just to see the experience. Some videos I make with my cell phone when they would stay by the church. You come to the church and every new believer would come to the church and they stay by the church and screaming and shouting and cursing. I don't mean bad words, but cursing like Kabbalah curses and the spiritual witchcraft, all kind of stuff. But I can tell you, when we would come together after these riots with the team to pray, it feels like a storm. City rises against us. We felt like city really rise against us just to kick us out. We don't want to see missionaries in our city. It's a Jewish city, you know. But at the same time, we would come to pray. We feel the storm, fears. There was also spiritual dimension to that, you know, like we had nightmares, you know, and all kind of stuff. I know witchcraft, it's real stuff. So we learn to pray. We learn how to pray, how to really use name of Jesus in these situations. It's a really wonderful process, I tell you, wonderful process. But the most important, we would come to pray, we would close our eyes, you know, storm outside, you're closing your eyes, and the comfort and presence of the Holy Spirit was so obvious, it just would come over us. You open your eyes, you feel like storm again around you. You close your eyes, and comfort and peace of Holy Spirit just would come over us. And that was so obvious, so precious, so powerful. So it was very, very, very special experiences. You know, back then, I didn't like these persecutions. I didn't like these, you know, problems. I didn't like it. But today, I can tell you, it was best experience of our church in my life. Best experience. Many times I remember we were flying out to see Jerry in Washington, D.C., prayer breakfast. And coming back, my wife, many times she would just cry on the plane. Oh, coming back to this pressure. I know it's our land. I know it's our country, but you know, it was difficult. But at the same time, the comfort of Holy Spirit was so powerful. And I want to tell you, I know probably we have different situation. We have different culture around us, different problems. But I learn pretty much that you also have all kind of problems in your life here in America, right? Right? Oh, not in Seattle. It's all good here. You know, devil is not exist here. You know, yeah. I know we have. We have, you know, all kind of problems with the family and kids and relatives and health and career, you know, all kind of challenges around us, all kind of bad news coming to us, and we're worried about society and what will be future for our kids, and, you know, how would they follow Lord, and all kind of problems and bad reports and difficult situations. But I can tell you for sure, God will be with you. God will be with you. And maybe you doesn't feel like a strong person. We didn't feel when persecution started, we didn't feel that we are ready. We didn't feel like, you know, we able to stand up, stand firm, you know, like, and be strong. We didn't feel that. But Holy Spirit came to help. And that was an amazing story. So same for you. You can face all kind of difficulties, all kind of troubles and problems. But God will be with you. And when you have no power, He will give you power. When you have no patience, He will give you patience. When you have no faith, He will lead you to a point that will, your faith will be encouraged and you could trust Him. Only one thing, just don't give up. Just don't give up. Just keep trusting Jesus. Keep waiting on Him and He will come. That's for sure. That's our experience in Israel, in the midst of persecutions, in the midst of trials and tribulations and troubles, and like physical persecutions. God is with us and helping us to overcome. Now, after a while, it's changed. You know, they still come into our church every week. The religious people, they're still coming, but they don't have power anymore. Something changed in the spiritual, you know, really changed in the spirit. Now they come and we can laugh and smile and make jokes, you know, like, you know, even tease them a little bit. So it's just really like being polite, but, you know, so it's changed, praise the Lord. And it's all because of Him. And now as a church, we're growing again. We didn't grow for a while, for a certain time, because of, you know, every new believer would come to the church. He would need to come to the crowd, screaming people and shouting and screaming, you know. But now we're growing again as a church. We've become a pretty big church for Israel, and but it's still small. I mean, we have 250,000 people in our church. Sorry, in our city. 250,000. Oh, that was prophetic. See, English is not my first language, not even second. Sorry. Yeah. 250,000 people in our city. And only 300 people in our church, and maybe 50 in another church. So there is very, very few believers. Think of percentage, 250,000 compared to just a few hundred, you know. That's lots of lost people. But it changes, praise the Lord, it changes. And God really using church to become salt and light. And, you know, we have lots of new immigrants, like, you know, there's war in Ukraine and Russia, and many Jewish people, they coming back to Israel, fulfilling prophecies of the Bible, coming back to the land of Israel. We have also Spanish-speaking community coming from Cuba, Cubanian Jews. I didn't know that there's Jews in Cuba, you know, they're even in Cuba. From Cuba and Mexico and other countries, they're coming back to Israel, and we are blessed to be able to receive them. You know, the government receiving them, giving them like basic help, but government has no faces. And then we as a church come with the food packages, with encouraging messages, with celebrations, and they feel like we give them more than government, because we're just loving on them. You know, we're becoming hands of Jesus and face of Jesus. And it's amazing, because help we give them, it's very little, but it makes such a big impact on their lives. And they just love to be with us. And we have so many stories when people would come, they would receive a package of food and they would say, we don't need it actually anymore. I'm going back and I'm giving it to my neighbors because I found a job. Now I'm doing good. But I love to come here. I love the atmosphere. I love the, you know, love. And we're always speaking about, first of all, about Christians. We're telling them, that's a key. Really, it's a key. We're telling them that Christians love them, pray for them, stand with them. And many of them would cry. They would say, we thought all the world is hate us. You know, if you watch media, and if you make your mind of Israel just through the media as Israeli, you would feel that they're all the world against you. And we're telling them, no, no, it's not. There is many Christians who love you, pray for you, care for you. And little by little, they open their hearts, actually, for Christians first, then for Jesus, for the gospel. And we're preaching the gospel. And just last year, when we did crusades. It's like helping first, building a relationship, then taking them to sightseeing, Christians sightseeing, because it's taboo in Israel. No Israeli guides will show locals Christian sites. You know, we do, and we use it for the gospel. And then we invite them for a mix, like crusade and celebration and sightseeing and preaching the gospel. So just last year, we had 4,800 Israelis came to our meetings to hear about Jesus, we offer them to receive Jesus. Many of them pray to receive Jesus. So it's a wonderful process. Praise the Lord. It's just beautiful to see what God is doing. So we learn that He can take a handful of people and use them for His glory and change even cities and countries. Praise the Lord. Because it's not about people. It's not about us. It's about His assignment. It's about His glory in us, His power that works through us, even when we don't see it. Amen? So please turn to your neighbor and tell him, God's glory on you. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. Yes. That's the Bible, that God's promises. And if you doesn't feel, it's okay. You don't have to feel. Like another guy told me example. I love that example. It was Brazilian man. He told me, when I told him this story about different experiences with glory of God, when you don't feel nothing, but people kind of testifying about glory and, you know, encounters with Jesus just because you was there, you smiled. By the way, actually, I had people in my church who spoke with Jerry and they met Jesus. Really. And I know Jerry's humble man, I would never speak about that. Is, but that's truth. I'm telling you real stories, you know, like real stories. One lady, Avitali, she said, I thought it's angel. I thought it's not even man, you know. That's God's glory. And I know Jerry didn't feel nothing at that time. It was just normal, you know, like, hi, how are you? Jesus loves you, you know, moments. So praise the Lord, because we don't have to feel it. And my friend from Brazil said, you know, when you put perfume on you, after a few minutes, you don't feel the perfume. But people around, they will feel it, right? Same with glory of God. We don't feel it many times, but we don't have to feel it. But it's not for us. It's not for our sake. That's for people around you, to be able to bless them, to be, you know, smell of His kingdom for them, give them life, to give them encouragement. And God can use your, you know, simple prayers, simple encouraging words to change their lives around and bring kingdom to their situations just through very simple things. Amen. So our part is just to be ready for that, which is just to believe in that, to trust Lord. You know, not to be afraid to pray for somebody, just to take any chance to pray, to share, to encourage, to love, because you never know what God can do through you, simple words. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So please keep praying for us. We last couple of years we started a couple new congregations, couple new churches. So it's challenging because you're releasing teams out and need to raise the new ones. We are by end of construction. Like I told you, it's the first Christian building in entire city. So it's very important. It's our we use it as a base for all the outreaches and pastoral trainings. We have really wonderful youth movement. So we're praying for youth. We want to train them to be, you know, Jesus for our people in Israel. Amen. To see servant generation of young leaders, Israeli leaders who follow Jesus and love Jesus and change in our society. So it's amazing to see how our city have changed. You know, first we had a very hard time and now we're having breakthrough. So it's beautiful to see how it's happening, and God is really faithful. We're also starting a new work in neighbor cities like Ashkelon. It's a biblical city. There's many scriptures about Ashkelon. We already started work in Ashkelon. So we're praying for pastor there to start a church in Ashkelon. So just pray for us, pray for our ministry. So Jerry, please come. So let me pray for you. If any of you need encouragement of the Holy Spirit, if any of you face difficulties, it's a question, you need prayer. Can we stand up all together? Can we stand up for a minute just to have prayer time? Maybe brother can come and play a little bit or piano just to, yeah. So I would like to take just a couple minutes with the Holy Spirit just to, you know, open our hearts toward the Holy Spirit and let them touch our hearts to encourage us, to refresh us in His presence. Let His glory you know, to touch us again, to feel us again, you know, to do His work in us. And probably every one of us have prayer requests. Probably every one of us have some challenges, some difficulties, some things that, you know, taking your peace away, and you need God's help in your situation. And Holy Spirit is here just to answer our questions and our prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come in to your throne. Hallelujah. To receive help and encouragement and everything we need, Lord. To receive healing and healing of our hearts. To receive power to forgive and move on. To receive power, Lord, to help us in our situations with our children, grandchildren, parents, friends, family. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just touch us. Touch us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us see your glory, Jesus, in our hearts. Let us see your glory, Lord. Let us look at you, Jesus. Look at your example, Jesus. Look at you, Jesus. Because all we need, we have in you. All we need, Lord, we have in your kingdom. So pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Heal us, Lord. For everyone who needs healing in his body, just heal us, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves, Lord, before you. And we pray, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your glory come to this earth, Lord. And just use us, Jesus, for your purposes. Use us, Jesus. Use our prayers. Use our conversation. Use our presence, Lord. Use us, Jesus, for your glory and your kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for supernatural presence of the Lord. Thank you that gospel is not only words to understand and teaching to understand how your kingdom works, but also it is your power and presence of God and reality of your kingdom, Jesus. So help us to see spiritual realm, Lord. To see you moving, Lord, and doing things in us, around us, through us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this church, Lord. Bless each one of us, Lord. Bless us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I think he's just the right height. We have been really blessed to be a part of this today and just to hear this. And I've never heard a more balanced perspective on Israel go one way or the other that's out of balance. And all about the Lord. Yeah, and I just assume this not be recorded for